Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our risen Lord, who has ascended into heaven and who has sent us his Holy Spirit, who forms us into the church by faith. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson appointed for this Pentecost Sunday. I read to you from the gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter, starting at verse 37 and going to verse 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Thus the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we praise you that you sent your Spirit into our hearts and made it possible for us to see and believe by faith. We ask that you continue to bless us in that faith even now as we sit down to hear your word. Bless us with understanding and especially with faith to believe it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That's what it says in Matthew 5:6. Today's sermon text alludes to this verse in scripture, among others. Jesus, on the last day of the Feast of Booths, stands up in the temple and cries out in a loud voice, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow living water." The Feast of Booths, or as some people call it, the Feast of the Tabernacles, was a seven-day celebration that was set to begin on a particular day that God established in the ancient Jewish calendar, namely the 15th day of the seventh month, after the harvest would be gathered in. All of Israel would leave the comfort of their own houses and for the whole week live in tents, or as they were called back then, booths. And they were commanded to do this by God in remembrance of how they lived under God's care after they left captivity in Egypt. And during that celebration, they undoubtedly remembered how God decimated Pharaoh's might by destroying Egypt with a series of 10 plagues. I'm sure they would recall how God destroyed Pharaoh's army by drowning them in the Red Sea. And then they'd reflect upon how God provided for them, leading them through the wilderness to the promised land, giving them everything that they needed to survive, including water. Remember Horeb? There in that place, there was no water. There, all of Israel grumbled against Moses, that God had led them out into the wilderness to die of thirst. "Take the rod I have given you to lead my people," God commanded. And you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. In Numbers 20, verse 8. Water flowed from solid rock that day, and that changed the heart, the solid heart of man. Today's Pentecost Day. Typically on this day, our children, having been instructed in the theology of the church, would have entered this building and stood right up there at the front of the church, in front of the sanctuary, to confirm the blessings that were conveyed upon them by the Holy Spirit in the waters of their baptisms. There, before God and the witnesses of this church, they would do something that was impossible for any human being to do. They would renounce the devil and affirm their faith in Jesus. Impossible because it goes against our human nature. No one can say these things apart from those who have been blessed with faith from God. Why? Because the natural heart is like stone before God, cold and unbelieving, completely dead to faith. Talk about providence. We believe because of God. He strikes our hearts with his staff. He strikes them with a cross. And much like Horeb, God's faith pours out. And not just once, not just a trickle. The promise is far greater than that, because the Holy Spirit is far greater than that. That's what is in the words that Jesus is giving us today. During the Feast of Booths, God required that the priests in their daily duties offered up the sacrifices, and they would bring water also from the to the temple and consecrate it, water and wine, and bring it to the temple and consecrate it for God's use by pouring it into two shallow bowls that stood beside the altar. They were to gather that water from the fountain of Shiloah and bring it to the temple in a solid gold vessel. That procession was reverent and solemn, and when the priests arrived at the temple, trumpets would sound, and the people, remembering all that God had provided them, would lift up their voices and sing the words of Isaiah 12:3, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Do you remember that day that Jesus went on into Sychar in Samaria and sat by that well waiting for that woman to come by? "Give me a drink," he said to her as she worked. John recorded that conversation in the 9th chapter of the gospel that bears his name. "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." For 7 days during the Feast of Booths, that trumpet would sound, and the people would sing as that water was being brought into the temple. For 7 days, generation after generation, people would sing, "Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation." And now on this, the last day of the great feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Doing the math, what's being said is an impossibility. Those who belong to the world would ask, "How can a single sip of water taken into a body become a flowing river that flows from the heart?" It's an impossibility. But from our own experience, we know with God all things are possible. The apostolic word through which we were made to believe flows out of the church. Everything that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote, that flows from the church. Everything that Paul and Peter and James wrote, that's proclaimed by the church. And not one word is ever left out, because it was inspired by God. Having received God's Spirit, our confessions well up to form another river. Our three ecumenical creeds are professions of our faith spoken before the world. When we speak the words of the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, or the Athanasian Creed, we speak it aloud so that those who are gathered around us can hear it and believe. Our hymns, our prayers, our sermons form yet another three rivers that flow. Hymns set scripture to music, causing us to remember and giving us cause and giving people cause to listen to what the lyrics convey. Prayers identify God's providence for us and see God's will in our lives powerfully impacting us and those around us. And the word, that word reaches out to all nations, especially now when it seems that practically all churches have this internet access to the World Wide Web. And of course, there's the testimony of our own faith. That we have the Holy Spirit in us is known to the world, and that sometimes is a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. The world knows who we are. The world hates God. The world hates the word that we bring. That word is scorned and rejected because of its bitter medicinal taste. And yet it's that very gift, that medicine, the balm that the world needs. This river, our personal profession of truth before all mankind, becomes the passion of the saving word of God and a river that longs to embrace others in sacred conversation. When we drink of Christ, we together with him desire all mankind to be saved. Is it any wonder then that the prophet Zechariah said, "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Zechariah 14:8. We can well imagine that all those who heard Jesus calling out marveled at his words. They marveled because they were spoken to all eternity for the sake of all people. And we can rest assured that this gift of living water will continue to flow, for Scripture itself testifies the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give you strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Isaiah 58:11. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I invite you to keep that verse with you. It's our key verse for the week, John 7:38, and it's printed for you today in our interactive worship folders. On this Pentecost day and throughout the entire season of Pentecost, I pray that you'll be strengthened in faith by God to trust his word. His is a powerful and unchanging promise, one that will indeed bless you and well up within your heart to form a single sip that satisfies the soul and becomes a torrent of rivers. In Jesus' name, amen. And I invite you to take a moment, bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, you preserve our lives. You make it possible for us to grow as a church in faith. And we thank you for that blessing. We thank you for the many rivers that flow from us even now. And we ask you to continue on in faith with us, to continue blessing us with that message of salvation, that we are not a church that is just a still pool, but instead a church that is a torrent in this community, one that refreshes, one that refreshes the soul. We ask that you bless those around us that are working diligently to safeguard lives. And we ask that you also bless us as your church, that we also work diligently. Bless us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.